The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Congratulations to Guram Kutateladze. What a spectacle.
The Georgian Viking Guram Kutateladze.
Does it not done yet?
This is my house. This is my cage. I was not going to let anyone come in here and push me around.
Joe Lozano.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Today, Matt and I have Joe Lozano. I can't believe Joe's never been on. This will be his first appearance.
No, that's not true.
Is it not?
I'm going to say that's not true. I'm going to say he was on
I
the
thought
show
we
before.
Had him, too.
I'm going to say it was before us working. It was back in the day. It had to be.
Don't they have a list of who we've had on? I'm sure they do. So I would assume.
Maybe because I know him so well that I'm
Yeah,
assuming.
Maybe we think he's been on, but no. We also have lightweight Guram Kutateladze making his first appearance on Unfiltered. He is fighting Demir Ismagulov on Saturday, June 18th, the Saturday night that Joe is fighting Cowboy as the co-main event. I'm happy to see Cowboy. I guess they went back down to lightweight. Cater versus Josh Emmett. What a fucking fight that's going to be, man.
I'm looking at the card. And not only is the main event insane, where I don't even know where that came from. I was like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett. That's fucking... Calvin Kattar, there was a lot of questions after he lost to Max Holloway. He's like, yo, how's he going to be after that fight? And he answered them in his last fight versus Giga.
Chikezi.
And he answered it with, I mean, I'll tell you right now, if that was a test, he passed with flying colors, and he looked phenomenal. It's like he leveled up since his loss to Max Holloway. And Josh Emmett is... Dude, he's deadly, dude. He's powerful. That's fun. Yeah. That's a fun main event.
He's won four straight fights, Josh, and I think six out of his last seven. So yeah, that's a great, and I love when they do stuff like this together. I'm sorry, when they put fights like this together, especially as a main event, like a non-title fight. I love a good fight like this. I mean, this is they did this a lot more in the old days, you know, almost as pay-per-views. They weren't all title fights, but now there's so many divisions, so many great fighters, and so many marquee fighters that you can have a title fight almost every pay-per-view.
Now, I wonder, is this it for Donald Cerrone? Is he going to walk into the sunset? And remember, it's not
I thought he retired already. I thought he talked about retiring already. Not that he actually did it, but that, like, didn't he say he was done after his last fight?
He's 34, it says right here. And
I thought Cowboy was older.
I thought he was too. Guys, double check that shit. Oh, no, wait, he's 39. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Calvin Kattar is 34.
Oh, okay.
See how I did that? Because
he looked at the wrong one, yeah.
I looked at the wrong one. I was about to say, I thought he was older.
Yeah, 34. So when did he start fighting when he was fucking 13? Yeah.
Well, look, he's got some miles on that 39 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's lost a few fights. The last fight Cowboy won was in 2019. He's lost, and you know, unfortunately, let's see, one, two, three, four out of these last six fights. One was a no contest over, it was a majority draw, Nico Price. Pettis was a decision. The other ones are all TKOs. So he's lost four out of these six last fights by TKO. So, I mean, that's doing late in the career damage to Cowboy. So I hope that doesn't happen to him in this fight, because I'd hate to see him get hurt on his
way. Well, it is the hurt game. But he is fighting Joe Lozano, who I like a lot.
Who I don't want to see him get hurt.
So if I had to pick one, I'm going with Joe Lozano. I mean, I like Cowboy too. I'll have a laugh with him. But I know Joe Lozano a little bit more. How could you not root for Joe Lozano?
I mean, but you know what I mean? When you see guys, everyone gets hurt in the business. But when you see guys, like, especially like we see a lot of boxers late in their career taking fights, and you're like, fuck, I hate to see that guy take that damage, you know, that I wish he didn't have to take.
Listen, you don't want to see anybody take.
Oh, that's not true. There's plenty of people I want to see take damage. That's not true. There's plenty of people in life that I would love to see take a good beating. Just Cowboy and Joe are not two of them.
Well, I mean, this is the hurt business, Jimmy.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Sometimes my feelings get hurt.
I'll tell you, Jimmy, last episode was fucking funny.
That was a lot of fun.
You had me dying about that the thing with the guy with the dwarf.
You got my text.
I got it. I got it. Yeah. It's just you putting on the Joe Pesci voice. I'll tell you, yeah. I've never been more wrong in my life.
Yeah.
Fucking thing. And I felt so bad. But I did remedy it. I did call
him. Yeah, did call him and say, hey,
yeah,
sorry about that. I thought they didn't send videos, but they did. You did call and say that.
You know what? Hey, man, I'm really happy we're going to talk to Joe Lozano, and he's ready right now.
Yeah, let's talk to Joe.
Let's get him in here, man.
And we will confirm that we've never had him on. I mean, I'm shocked.
I think they got that wrong. Let's find out.
Let's see.
I'm having flashbacks of the Call of Duty game I played with you and your buddies.
You are so bad at Call of Duty, Matt.
I suck, but let me tell you something.
You're fun, though. You're fun.
I have a lot of fun. Yeah. And if you, listen, Joe Lozano, I know you're a video game nerd, but I'm putting out a challenge. If you, and listen, you don't got to accept it, okay? If you get the Oculus Quest 2 and you get Population 1, I'll fucking, it'll be a 10A round. If we go every round, I'll fucking take you out. And I don't know why that came out a little rough. I'm fucking dangerous with that. Okay. Call of Duty, you own me, and I embarrassed myself. I was with you and your squad, and you're like, oh, here's my friend Matt. And I came in and I did not carry my weight, let's say.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. I wasn't even I was in my old house. Jimmy, I didn't carry my weight. I got off.
I understand.
Joe was being nice to me. And I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to log out. Second I got off that thing, I know they talk shit about me. I know Joe probably tried to defend me, but I did not. I let the squad down. Let's fast forward.
You not only disgraced yourself, you disgraced the entire platoon. You basically humiliated everybody that night.
We would still play it every time, though. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're trash. We would still play.
You know what? There's levels to that Call of Duty. And I was maybe like a blue belt with a stripe. These guys are like black belts.
How good are their arm locks? How good are their chokes, right?
Exactly. You know what's funny, Joe Lozano? Guess who I've been playing Population 1 with? That's the game I play on. It's a battle royale type game. Squads of three, unless it's Legion. Sometimes there's squads of six. And, you know, it's taking out everybody else. Oh, so much fun. I've been playing with Mike Fowler. Remember that jiu-jitsu guy?
Yes. From back in the-
I'm in there, and all of a sudden I see a guy. I go, Mike Fowler, BJJ. And with the fucking Oculus Quest, like, you see the guy. So I'm in there, and I'm like, fucking Mikey. And I haven't seen him forever. He's got a jiu-jitsu school in Hawaii. And I also play with
Didn't he name his kid Thor or something? He named his kid something.
He might have, but he's an old school jiu-jitsu guy. He's my height. I like him a lot. So I don't know. What a fun fucking game. Also, what's his name? He's married to Muhammad Ali's daughter. It's gonna bother the shit out of me.
Layla Ali, the boxer.
The other daughter. Anyway, enough of these. But hey, if you play this Population 1, Joe, I'm telling you, you'll probably get your Xbox and fucking punt it into a fucking lake. It's so much fun. How come you never got into VR?
I don't know. I didn't do it. I don't know. I think I don't want someone like just taking video of me like, being an asshole, just doing whatever with my little screen on, no one seeing, and then someone pushing me from behind or messing with me or whatever.
Oh, there it is. Look, I'm sorry. It just came to me. Kevin Casey, that's who I play with. He was on The Ultimate Fighter. He's a jacked black guy. He's a fucking black belt of the Hicks and Gracie. Good dude. He's in Cali. So yeah, man, I fucking enjoy that game so much.
It made me dizzy though. I tried it. Like I'm not good with I don't play games, but virtual reality made me dizzy. Have you tried it? Joe, have you gotten in there at all?
I haven't. I've done like the little bullshit ones, like at the arcade where you put on the little mask. I did like some stupid SpongeBob game. Where it's like your SpongeBob, it's almost like Mario Kart, but there was someone was a gunner. So it was cool, but you know.
This is what I do. I don't know if this is what you do when you meet up with your friends and you're still game, don't you? You're still yeah. a gamer. This is what I do. I got a couple of my childhood friends, right? And I got them into it. So we're all grown men with families, right? So I just text them an emoji of a window. So they go, oh, a window, an opening. Let's go. So if they're into it, they'll send me another one with a window with a fucking eagle or a window with a ninja. And I go, oh, let's fucking go. So then we get on that thing and we murk. I have such a good time. I'm a simple man. I don't like to go anywhere. I'm getting knee replacement in a couple of weeks, Joe. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I have trouble walking. I could fucking fly in the Oasis. I put that thing on, I'm fucking flying, I'm shooting things.
I love how you started this with like, I'm a grown ass man. And then you start talking about how you're sending emojis to your boys so you can play video games. I appreciate it. I think that's what being an adult is, right? Being an adult is doing what you want. I'm going to play video games.
I don't think you could call it a midlife crisis if I kind of always been like this. I think I got to a certain maturity and then I kind of said, wait, I'm pause. Let's just stop you. And I just keep the maturity at that level. And yet I have kids and it seems to be working out great.
Well, Joe, are you on Twitch?
I'm not, because here's my thing is like, I'm constantly, like, so I have my martial arts school, jiu-jitsu school. Yes. So I'm either doing that all the time. I decided to stop trying to level up in video games and try to level up my gym. And it went way better for me. Go figure. But when I'm playing video games, that's kind of like my me time. I'm not trying to promote anything. I'm not trying to do anything. I just want to be able to turn my brain off and go in, you know, either
just love doing it.
Smash little kids, sometimes little kids smash me, but it doesn't matter. I don't have to do anything. I'm hanging out.
We do it for the love of it, Jimmy. Me and Joe Lozon. That's why, hey, look, when you're done fighting, whenever you're done fighting, you might want that something. At least if you ever did get into it, you'd be like, all right, look, at least you motherfuckers know I did it for the love of the fucking video game. You understand?
Yeah.
I did this because I like to do it. Now I'll share my experience that I've with everybody else, and then they'll get excited because they know you're really a gamer. I could have sworn you were on Twitch. That's fucking crazy.
Because if I try to be on Twitch, I would, you know, approach it like I have to grow this thing. It would become a job. Yeah. I wouldn't enjoy it as much. Like video games, like when I get to turn my brain off and not worry about it.
Well, you got to do it a certain amount of hours before you monetize, and then you start wondering how many followers. You're right. It starts to become a thing or goals instead of just relaxing.
I don't need another job. Fuck that.
Hey, you haven't fought in a couple of years. Is part of that because your gym has been doing well and you've been focusing on that and it's given you something kind of to stay focused on? Or you haven't fought things since 2019?
Yeah. I mean, so after I wanted to fight after my last fight, like I didn't want it to be this long. But then all the COVID shit happened, you know, and I did not want to do like my last fight went so perfectly. Like it could have been my last fight. So I didn't want to go and try to do a fight camp. Now the fight never happened. Which is exactly what happened in Phoenix, because we did an entire fight camp, trained for so long, and then Cowboy was sick. My gym is doing great. Like, I don't need to fight. Like, before, it used to be like, okay, like, this is my job. This is my full-time job. I fight, and I make money, and this is what I do. Now, it's like I'm perfectly happy with the gym. Like, I don't need to fight. I'm fighting because I want to fight. But that was the big reason for the long layoff, was just all the COVID stuff.
I'm sure you teach classes and stuff. Do you like teaching? And is it different than obviously being a student? Do you think that made you a better teacher, or is it way different than you expected when you're actually instructing people?
I love teaching. I teach like the, we have like, we call them Vipers, our 6 and 9 year old kids. I teach, you know, two of those groups a week. I teach a bunch of adult grappling classes. Like I really, really like teaching, you know, and like, some people like having like beautiful jiu-jitsu, the gentle art. I don't like having that kind of jiu-jitsu. I want to smash people. I want like people to be uncomfortable. I want people to just get crushed. I'm always like, I think like if you're not twisting someone's fingers or doing something like that, trying to injure someone, I think that the dirtier, the better. You know what I mean? Like, I just, that's how I like to. And I teach my classes like that. Like if I'm going with someone, I'm going to try and do this. And like kind of like, and I want them to kind of be like that kind of like scrappy kind of grappler. I think that sometimes like it gets like,
It's like, oh, jiu-jitsu is for everybody. No strength. Be nice. It's your friends. It's like, kind of like jiu-jitsu started like with, you know, basically like, you know, it was almost like gang warfare, like hand-to-hand gang warfare. Like, oh, we're going to go raid your gym. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
it's true.
That was what the jiu-jitsu you came up in, you know, like.
It, you know what? It was like the generation, like the original generation in Brazil when they had the Lucha Libre, they had the guys, the crazies fighting on the beach. I had more of the knuckleheads that didn't believe in jiu-jitsu and the traditionalists coming in and trying to grab your throat, your poke your eye and shit. So, yeah, we had many arms. I popped many arms over on that 27th Street when guys would come in and reach for my throat.
You could argue that the Henzo Gracie schools were the biggest gang going on the entire East Coast.
Yeah, you mean coming up or just in, oh man, yeah, because there was no other school besides Steve Maxwell's in PA, and so Henzo came over and just, you know, really, really took over Manhattan and spread out, you know, like a jiu-jitsu virus.
Well, American Top Team came out. Which is probably, I don't know what year that was, like maybe like 2004, 2005. I mean, Henzo's was like, they were the entire East Coast. It was all Henzo schools.
And who was your instructor again, Joe? Who's your jiu-jitsu instructor?
Joe Pomfret. So Joe came up, he trained at JBA, which is Don Banville, and then Boston Brazilian, which is Roberto Maia.
Now, let me ask you, when there's no, you're taking it a fight at a time, you don't got no certain number that you're, what's going on when you're fighting?
I mean, we'll see how this fight goes. Like,
yeah.
If this fight goes really poorly, it'll be the last fight. If it doesn't go poorly, then I'm open to doing another one. Like that's a big.
I got you. Now let me ask you, only because I, you know me, I'm a jiu-jitsu man. When you are done fighting, are you done with combat sports in general? Do you think you could ever go in and have a grappling super fight or something like that, or no?
I have fun with that. I mean, to me, it's like fighting is serious, and super fights like jiu-jitsu is kind of fun. You know what I mean? So like. You know, obviously when you fight, there's a very real potential there to get smashed, knocked out, everything like that. You know, like if I go and get choked in a jiu-jitsu match, like it sucks that I lost, but it's like the stakes are much, much lower. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, 100%.
I could get heel hooked on a Tuesday night at my gym as easy as I get heel hooked in like a super fight or something. So it's like, I mean, I understand there's potential there to get hurt, but it's definitely not the same as a fight. I would be up for that for sure.
And it must be nice to know, too, with the gym doing so well, it takes the pressure off of having to do it. And that really, I'm sure, makes life a lot better for you, too. You don't feel like, fuck, where are my bills going to get paid from? You already know you have something. It's like guys who are good announcers know that they have something. Is it harder to motivate yourself to fight or to get ready for a fight knowing you have this great other thing?
Not really. I mean, so when I had my first fight in UFC and I made like 30 grand. Right. And then I went back to work on Monday. And then I went back to work for a couple months. And then I went on the Ultimate Fighter. And then I went back to work. And then I fought in the finale. And I went back to work. You know, it's like I was always like, I was never like, oh, I need to win this fight so I can, you know, pay my mortgage next month or whatever. It's, you know, I've always been like ahead of the game as far as that stuff goes. So I was never like, you know, I never needed a fight to go a certain way to pay for anything or win anything. But it's definitely easier, you know, now because I'm definitely not worried about it. But I'm just competitive as hell. Like I want to win. Like I'm so competitive. Like that's the bigger thing. It's like money. Obviously you want to make that money for sure. But it's less about the money and more about just the competitive. Like I don't want to lose.
Jimmy, I remember Joe's first fight in the UFC and everybody was making a huge deal about the return of our friend, Jens Pulver. Because there was some stuff with Jens Pulver, former champ. He left the UFC on there was some problems. He went to Japan. He did some things. And now he's back. He Little Evil is back. Joe Lozon just shit all over his party. Joe Lozon came in and we're like, wow, what is going to happen now that Jens is back, man? What is going to happen? Fucking Joe Lozon gave zero shits and there's nobody knew you back then. And that was your first fight, right, Joe?
Yep, first fight in UFC.
So yep. Joe went in there and Joe put him out. He put him out. He fucking laid him out with punches. And everybody was extremely disappointed. Now, no way.
I was disappointed. Everybody,
No. Joe was very happy. And then all of a sudden you start finding out about Joe. And then you're like, oh, look at this guy. Look at him fighting his brother on the front lawn. What the fuck? And then you start getting some interest up. And then, obviously, the Ultimate Fighter, people got to know you and really like you. Tell me about that. Now, you're one of the few guys, and I did this also. It's one of the rare occasions where you actually in the UFC, at least had one fight, and then you got on. How many fights before you got on the Ultimate Fighter?
Just one. So basically, they brought me in. So Jens would knock me out to hype him up as a coach, and then I knocked him out. And then like, we should bring you in the show. Do you want to come on the show? Like, sure, let's do this.
Now, tell me about that experience, because that for me, for a guy that was in the UFC before, and I had a little bit more experience being in there, and then had like 8 fights before I did that Ultimate Fighter, the comeback. I seen the difference between people knowing you and rooting for you and not knowing you, just being a regular UFC guy. How was the experience of being on the Ultimate Fighter? Did you notice a difference, or you didn't have that much time in the regular organization to see a difference?
I didn't have a ton of time in the UFC to kind of notice a big difference. But to me, it was almost like going to college or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, cool, because like you literally get trained every single day on how to do interviews and how to deal with this and how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like to me, that was like the big part of it. And like when you fight, you're with someone for a very short amount of time, and there's like no action there, right? Like you're basically, you go out and you fight, and people are watching how you're fighting. And then, you know, if you win, you have a little bit of time on the mic after, a little bit of a connection there.
Yeah.
Whereas on the Ultimate Fighter, okay, it's gonna be, you know, 8, 10, 12 weeks, whatever it is. You're going to be on there for an hour a week, and people kind of connect with you and understand about, and it goes beyond kind of just like the fighting ability. I saw that as, you know, being super valuable.
Smart.
And when you were working, Joe, and you said you'd fight and go back to work, what were you doing? What kind of work were you doing?
So I had a bachelor's in computer science, and I was a network admin. So I was like an IT guy. I did computer stuff.
Come on, man. I'm a moron. No wonder why you're so good at the fucking Call of Duty, man. You're in the computer. You know what's going on.
Yeah. So I did all that. So like when I, before I fought in the UFC, like they didn't really know what I did. I'm not like a super social person. Like they had a problem, I would fix it. I would just go on their way. Like I'm not one for small talk. But I would always go in with like, I have like a, you know, a black eye or a scrape on my forehead or my face or something. They're always like, oh, what happened? I'd always make a joke. Like, oh, I fell down the stairs. I walked into something, or I'm clutched, something like that. And they had no idea. But then I fought Jens Pulver. And one of the guys in the office was a big UFC fan. And then it spread like wild. And from that point on, like, it was a totally different experience. It went from like, thinking I was like this like dorky, quiet computer kid to everyone like coming and asking me diet advice and how to do this and how to do that. And, like, it got crazy.
Did you get into Bitcoin being a computer guy?
I didn't. I still think all cryptocurrency is kind of bullshit. I don't know. I think it's kind of a scam. I know some people have definitely made a lot of money, but I know a lot of people have lost a lot of money.
Yeah, you're looking at one of them.
Make or lose.
Okay. I'm so bad at that shit, man. I bought in late. Like I held on to it. So now I'm just either going to lose it all or make money.
Do you want to cry? One of my buddies, Brandon, that does all my video blogs usually, he had like 40 Bitcoin that he lost.
Well, he probably forgot the pass the 12 seed or whatever.
No, he just, they're on like an old hard drive, and he just, you know, at some point moved a couple different apartments, just lost the hard drive, lost the computer, but he had like 35 or 40 Bitcoin.
Wow.
All gone. Just see you later.
How long ago did that happen though?
Years ago. This is probably like, I mean, he probably had them from like 15 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever, you know, first started out. They're worth like nothing.
And then, right now that would be $800,000 and it's in the toilet.
Yeah. Yep.
That hurts.
Yep.
Yeah. There's stories of those guys with like 10, two. There's one guy had 200 million on all, like he thinks it's in an old computer, the 12 seed phrase. And he's trying to pay a city to like dig up a dump. And he said he'll split the money with him if they dig up the dump and he finds a computer.
It's crazy. So I think all the crypto stuff, like we'll know better in time, but I think it's all kind of scammy, kind of bullshit. Like for someone to make a dollar in crypto, I mean, someone else has to put in a dollar, right? There's no real product there. It's literally like, oh, I put in money and someone else takes the money out. But I don't know. I was always very skeptical of it.
Yeah, you're probably smart.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, Matt.
What movie? What movie is it from? I'd buy that for a dollar.
Pretty Woman. Oh, no.
Come on. What movie?
I have no idea.
All right. It's RoboCop. It's from the 80s. Listen, I don't expect you guys to.
No,
you're talking all this Bitcoin and this and that, and my moronic mind is like, movie references. Listen, Joe, know what I'm shocked about?
What?
I'm shocked that you and Donald Cerrone have not shared the cage before.
It's crazy.
What the fuck? I'm pretty shocked.
It just never aligns. You know what I mean? It takes so much, you know, you got to be like both guys coming off a win or both guys coming off a loss and just the rankings and this and that and everything else. Like, and he usually, most of his fights have been on kind of short notice.
Yeah.
Maybe half of his fights have been on like pretty short notice, him stepping in, you know, late or whatever. So, it just never happened. But it's hopefully it's going to happen. I thought it was going to happen, you know, 5-6 weeks ago. It didn't happen. So
are you happy that you're getting another vet, the guy that's been around, or you like that or better than having some new kid trying to make a name off you? I mean, how do you like this? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I think there's like a lot of really good things about it. I think that, you know, Cowboy's probably one of the most well-known fighters in the entire UFC.
True. Right?
He's doing got a movie being released like this week. And
yes, with Gina Carano. Yeah, Gina Carano. Right.
Yep. So he's got that going for him. So, I mean, you're fighting a big name. So that part's good. It's kind of an even playing field. You know, we're both around the same age. So we both got the, you know, similar wear and tear and all that kind of stuff and injuries and stuff like that. So like it's kind of an even playing field there. If I lose to him, I'm not going to lose to him, but if you lose to a guy like that, it's not the end of the world because like, you know, he's a big name and it's well known, you know. Sometimes like when you lose to someone when they're on their way up and people don't know them yet, it's right. Like all the time you think, oh, he sucks. He got beat by this 21-year-old kid. And then, you know, maybe 5 years later, be like, oh, well, he lost to that guy, but that guy became a champ, but that guy's a badass. So it's like, at the time, it's a little bit hard, you know, losing to someone on their way up. If you get something to start there, I think that kind of helps a little bit. And I think it's a fan favorite fight. It's an exciting fight. We both won all kinds of bonuses. So that part's good. I just think it's going to be an exciting fight.
It's funny, Jimmy, because what Joe was just talking about, it's like, that's what happened when Joe bursted on the scene. We're like, oh man, so much for Chance Pulver. This some skinny kid came out here and just beat him up. Man, who is this kid? Meanwhile, it's fucking Joe Lozone. We all know who Joe Lozone is.
Right.
Hey, guys, producers, find out what movie Cowboy is going to be in. And I'll tell you, I wonder if he took a lot of acting lessons because it's a stretch. He's playing, get ready, a cowboy.
Ah.
He's playing a fucking cowboy. I don't know.
A traditional cowboy on a horse?
Well, I'm sure he's not riding his fucking quad on that thing. It's a fucking cowboy movie.
It could just be a cowboy, though, who's like a modern day cowboy, or it could be a cowboy from the Old West cowboy.
He's not throwing up. He's not showing up with his P3 protein in a squirrel suit, motherfucker. Uh-huh. He is in something called Something on the Prairie, Fight on the Prairie or some shit like that. They're going to look at the movie's called Terror on the what? The Prairie. There you go. And he's in a movie with Gina Carano. And I like seeing her and stuff, you know?
So I saw her. The last fight didn't happen. Right? We were supposed to fight Phoenix like 6 weeks ago. And like, so I saw her in the back room. And like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Gina Carano. I wasn't 100% sure. And then she came over and said hi to me.
And
so she, I mean, I was well ready. She had to watch him kick me in the face.
You know, what did she say? She said she's a fan? What'd she say?
No. She just said, you know, sorry about the fight happening. You know, she felt bad. The fight didn't happen. You know, but she's there because of Cowboy, right? Hey. You know, she's obviously there because Cowboy's fighting, and she's like, she's there to watch Cowboy kick me in the face.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. She's that. She's on. It's safe to say that she's on Team Cowboy. So no matter how much you like Gina Carano and you liked her in The Mandalorian and you want to see a movie, just know this. Right now, she's like, oh, Cowboy, put your shit in that Joe Lozone's face. Kick him in the face. Step on his neck. That's what she's thinking in her head.
Yeah, but it was so nice for her to come over and say, you know, say hi.
Hey, let me tell you something, guys. Speaking of Westerns, all right, because we are speaking about a Western movie. I watched last night with my family. Sometimes I like to bring the kids introduce them to some movies from my younger years. Sam Raimi's The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone, strong female. This was a strong female character. Okay. The Quick and the Dead by Sam Raimi. It's like the first time we had Russell Crowe in America. Oh, it's a fucking Western. It's great. Yeah. The bad guy, the villain in it is Gene Hackman, who's phenomenal.
It's almost 30 years ago, that movie. Yeah.
Well, now you're just making me feel.
No, I'm just saying. I can't believe it's been that long.
Is it really 30 years old?
Yeah, it's 95. Almost 30.
Now, let me tell you something. My kids loved it. So, you know, there's a couple of violent parts, but. Wow, what a great movie.
Yeah.
The Quick and the Dead in 1995. Well, listen, these movies, they age well because it's a fucking Western.
It's supposed to look old. It's supposed
to look old. Exactly. Yeah. And Sharon, this is before, I don't know what happened to Sharon Stone She might have got a little wacky or not. I don't know. But this is before she got wacky. She's fucking greatness.
What Sharon a cast. Stone,
right?
Fucking Gary Sinise is in this.
Yes.
Tobin Bell.
Talk to me.
Obviously in the Saw movie. This is a really, really good cast. And Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, you might have said him, Matt.
Leonardo DiCaprio is a young kid in it. And he plays like almost like a Billy the Kid type kid. But it's very, it's got a lot of humor in it. It's got action. And if you're a fan of Sam Raimi, who, by the way, just directed Doctor Strange, the multiverse thing. It's such a fantastic movie. And I recommend it a lot. So if you're bored this week, you got your fight coming up. The Quick and the Dead. It's on Netflix, Joe.
I'll check it out. I've seen it a long time ago, though.
And now, Joe, besides the video games and your school, actually, you're probably keeping pretty busy. What else are you doing? You watching any shows? You reading any books? What else are you doing in your spare time?
I've been doing tons of audiobooks.
Oh!
I just started them, too. Yeah. Why do you do it like when you're walking or when you're riding a bike or whatever?
Mainly when I'm driving. So Mike Perry, I drive to Skill Strength in Chelmsford, Mass. And it's like an hour from me. So I drive an hour to do strength conditioning. And then I'm there for like 2 hours and I drive an hour back. So it's like a 4 hour block of time.
Right.
So I always listen to something on the way up and the way back. And then I listen a little bit like when I'm lifting, when I'm doing some stuff. But
what's the latest audio book you're listening to?
I did Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss, which was good.
Basically,
it's like a 25 hour book. It takes like a long time. But it's basically each chapter is like someone different. He talks to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He talks to all these different people, kind of like, hey, what's something that you think is successful? What are some tricks you like to do? What are some mental, ideas that you have? Like, what do you think sets you apart? And it's like each chapter is a different person. So that was kind of nice because, if you get a chapter you like, you listen to that chapter. If you get something that you're not feeling the same, you just skip and go to the next chapter.
Do they do their own read? Are they doing their own audio, or do they just hire one person to read the whole book?
No, they got one person that reads it. Tim Ferriss goes and talks about different things after, but it's somewhat different.
I'm such a shitty reader, because I'm so ADD. I used to be good. Books on tape. I'm actually getting through books now. Where for the first time in fucking years, I'll actually finish a book.
Yeah. So my big thing is I remember doing book reports in school and stuff like that, and you do the reading, you do whatever you're going to do, and then you have to go and write the paper. And I think that writing the paper makes better. So whenever I do an audiobook, if I'm listening, usually it's in my car. Anytime there's something that's good, a good line or something, I just have I use Evernote, which is just for taking notes. And I was like, I'll just, put a couple sentences together, a quote or whatever it is. And it makes it so much nicer to go back after the fact, go and look at my notes for whatever is going on.
And it makes you focus because you're writing stuff down. When you write something, you're more focused on it. And it's like one extra step of repetition.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I can't believe this is your first time on the show. Matt and I both thought you'd been on. It must be. I'm sure that they're right.
Is that true, Joe?
I don't think I've done this with you guys.
I think it's his first time.
You know what it is, though? I'm so familiar with Joe. I could have swore he did the show before, but every time I see Joe, I always bring up either VR with him in person or something. I think I'm always talking to him.
You remember my last fight? We were doing the post-fight interview in the bathroom and you were taking a shit?
Yeah! Oh, shit. I was in a stall and I hear Joe talk. Now he's doing an interview with a guy. And I'm finally I'm holding my, I'm not trying to. And then finally, Joe, I had to just speak up and go, guys, I don't want to ruin this, but I'm taking a shit.
So we were going to do it for the last, I was supposed to fight Phoenix, I was supposed to fight Cowboy. After we win, we were going to go and take that audio clip and dub it over. And we're going to make that the recurring theme of that's doing the interview.
You got my permission. Hey, people know I got belly problems.
Yeah.
Oh, especially when my guys were fighting. I got to make sure I'm cleared out.
Yeah. Right?
That was funny, though. I just remember that now.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Joe, it's been a pleasure, man. Good talking to you. And hey, good Joe. Luck in this fight, man. This is, again, you're both legends. So this is a great fight. This is a great co-main event on Saturday, man. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Have a great fight.
Let's plug his school, too. Wait, hold on, yes. Joe. Plug your school. Anybody near you? I want to them to train with you.
My gym is it's Lozon Mixed Martial Arts. Our website is lozonmma.com. We're in Rainham, Massachusetts. We have one of the best schools around. We have all kinds of UFC fighters there, professional fighters, but we also got, it's mostly kids. We have 160 little kids.
Oh, wow.
I teach a lot of those kids classes.
It's a good mix of, you know, professional fighters and then like people just looking to make friends and you know, kids and everything. So it's good. But Lozon and Mato.com, it's in Rainham, Massachusetts.
You know what? There's a couple that trains with you that got that listened to this show. And I would have gave him a shout out, but the name's slipping my mind right now. I think a husband and a wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, but they definitely listen to your show. And I know that because I'm like, oh, I love Joe. So I fucked up giving him a shout out, but that's nice. I can tell you got nice people training there. That's very nice.
It's a good mix. Cause you know what happens? And I know you know this, Matt, you get one person that comes in as being an asshole. It ruins everybody else.
Dude, listen, same thing. I always say, and Jimmy knows, atmosphere is as important as anything I'm teaching. I love my schools. We live very similar lives. Video games, martial arts, fighting in a cage. We're lucky, guys. Joe, all our best, man. I'm going to be watching this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, Gram, how you doing?
Good, thank you, guys. How are you?
Hey, good, man. To see you. Thank you for coming on.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, guys.
So, Gram, hey, listen, man. You had one fight in the UFC, and that went well. How was it when you finally got the fight in the UFC? Was there any tunnel vision, any first-time jitters?
To say the truth, it's a mixed up feelings. Yeah, it's very mixed up. So I don't know, because it was a long journey. You know, I was waiting for this opportunity for a very long time. So, but I tried to stay cool, you know, stay calm and like, yeah, and take it as all the normal fights, you know. But I think still, you know, you get excited from like inside, you know, and nervous, of course, and stuff like this. But I always believe in myself, and it is what it is, you know. It was what it was.
Now, for our audience that are getting to know you, where are you from, and what's the first martial art discipline you started with?
I was born in Georgia, but I raised in Russia, in Moscow, and nowadays I'm living in Sweden.
Oh.
The first martial arts I started with was in Moscow when I was 5 years old. It was jiu-jitsu, Japanese jiu-jitsu. And I started with Muay Thai when I was like 11 or 12 years old, also in Moscow. I lived there for 15 years in Russia. But we were competing, you know, in different kind of like martial arts all the time, every weekend or like every second weekend, like Kyokushin, karate, sambo, judo, you know, like boxing and different martial arts. And of course, it's unofficial, you know, everything is like, nothing is on record. And first professional fight, you know, I did when I was like 11 years old in Moscow, in the cage, you know, with MMA rules and stuff.
11?
Like yes.
11 years old?
11 years old, yes. Yeah, so, but it's not in my record, of course, but yeah.
Did you know you wanted to fight for real then? Or was it just something you were doing when you were a young guy? Or was it actually a goal for you at that point?
No, it was always a clear vision. I had always clear vision and a goal and dream, you know, that I follow till nowadays and chase it.
So you were 11 years old when you started fighting in the mixed martial arts. That's wild.
Yeah, we opened the show like it was event, MMA event, MMA against Brazil or like MMA against the world. It's in like old archives, you know, and we were the first two guys who opened, like two kids. They put us in the cage and we just fought them.
How'd you do in that first fight?
It wasn't first, actually. Like, it was first, like, MMA in the cage, but...
Yeah.
But I lost that fight via armbar, I think, in the second round, if I'm not mistaken. I stretched my ligaments or ripped my ligaments, I don't remember. And I screamed, you know, and, like, referee stopped. And I remember, you know, like, small parts, you know. Then I remember my father carrying me and stuff like this, you know. We went to the hospital straight away. It was a little bit of chaos, you know, lights and stuff like this, hot canvas. That's what I remember, you know.
And now, is your father, what does your father think of where you are now with this, with your journey?
I think he knows my capacity and my what I'm capable of. And he always, like, believed in me, you know. But my family supports me, you know, in whatever I'm doing. Even probably, I think they don't like it, of course, that I'm fighting, you know. But if I'm doing it, they support me till 100% all the way.
How old were you when you left Moscow, and what brought you to Sweden?
I left Moscow when I was like 15 or 16. I went back to Georgia, to my homeland, because like a war situation come down, you know, and I wanted to see how is it in my homeland, you know. I forget my language, you know, and everything. So we went back to Georgia. And I've been there like 3-4 years almost. So I learned language from beginning, Georgian. And then when I was 18, 19, I started traveling to Sweden. All alone by myself. And and that would happen. Since then, I was working there and training there. And then I became a Swedish citizen. Also, so now I'm representing Sweden and Georgia too.
Nice. So you were going there just to train?
Where exactly?
To Sweden. Well, you said you were going back and forth from Georgia to Sweden. Was it primarily to train or no?
No, I leave now. I moved to Sweden like completely when I was 19, you know.
Oh.
First was like visa issues, you know. I was able to like stay 3 months and I have to go back and stuff like this, etc.
Man, I want to go to Sweden. It just sounds so beautiful. I just think of like a Swiss Miss commercial or some shit.
Yeah, it's nice.
Jimmy.
I think you're going to love it, guys. I think you're going to really love it.
It just sounds great. Now, Gurm, let me ask you, for the audience at home, we like to get to know all the fighters, you know. We know you're a badass fighter in the UFC. What do you like to do when you're not training or fighting? What do you like to do? I mean, bike rides, you like to read books, you like to watch movies. Tell us a little bit about your hobbies, buddy.
To say the truth, like, my everyday routine is training, you know, like wherever I am. Training is my hobby, it's my lifestyle, it's my life, you know. I've been doing this even when I was like 2 years old, from 2 to 4 years old, I was doing gymnastics.
That's awesome. It's like you're made for this.
Yes, I hope so, with God's will, you know. So
yeah.
And but otherwise, you know, like after my martial arts career, you know, like fighting career professionally, I would like to do like architecture and drawing and design. Yeah.
Architecture?
Yes, because I'm not just right now, but before, like I came to Sweden, I was focusing very much on like drawing and stuff like this.
Wow.
My father is an architect and he taught me, you know, to paint. And I'm supposed to study, but then it didn't work out. So I was like, okay.
This is what I'm talking about, Jimmy. This is what I want to find out. They think, they watch us fighters and they think that we're just Neanderthals. It might be true in my case, but look at this. I couldn't even draw a stick figure. He's an architecture. I would like to do that too. But I can't do that. That's amazing that you're able to do this.
Did your father design residential houses or commercial buildings, or what did he mainly design?
Houses, offices, and stuff like this. You know, like drawing itself, selling paintings, and etc.
And you've been off for how long? Last time you fought was, I think, it's October of 20. Why have you been off so long?
I had some issues, you know, health issues, injuries, okay. Unfortunately, like, private life stuff, you know, and so on. So, but, you know, I was fighting, but I was not fighting the cage, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
That happens. Life sometimes life interferes sometimes. Just real life gets in the way.
That's true. So I had to win the rounds with some other stuff, you know, in life. So now when I'm done with that, I'm back to open.
Good.
It's important. It's important for fighters when they have their outside of the cage life intact. It makes a difference when they're fighting. It really does. That's why a lot of fighters see those, you know, the shrinks. They see the therapists.
Yeah. I can imagine that. But, you know, like therapists, I never had to see one. But and I, you know what I believe in? I believe in, like, I talked about it before, you know, I'm not against this, you know, like therapists and psychologists, but imagine that people like from Caucasia, you know, that people are from who are from mountains, you know, like that area, the tough area, you know, like there is no such a job as a like mental coach, you know, and stuff like this, and life coach and stuff like this.
Yeah,
you know, that if you're gonna have like this kind of job, you know, at that areas, you know, people gonna laugh at you, you know, like you're not gonna make any money for living, you know, because the best teacher is life, and at that area, you know, like, and it makes you so hard, I believe in, and that you're just handling things, you know, like the way it comes towards you. So I believe it.
Life is the best teacher. Jimmy, I agree. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, you're fighting Demaryius Magulov on Saturday night. And yes. I'm happy you're back, man. And good luck on Saturday. And it's been good saying hello and getting to know you. And we'd love to have you back sometime.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate to have a conversation with you.
Guram, thanks so much. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, man.
All the best, guys.
Okay. Good luck on Saturday.
Bye. Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I like meeting new people.
I do too.
What a nice guy, man. And I'll tell you, I'm glad who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? An architecture? I mean, Jimmy.
What, buddy?
It's amazing. I get amazed at all these people, what they could do. Yeah. Like, how about this? For instance, my wife, she's the handyman around here. She's the handy person. She came out of Ciro. Ciro could build a fucking house. The guy was raised on a farm in Italy.
Yeah.
The guy could build a fucking house. She put in these new toilet seats, right? If you wanted me to do it, it's staying in the box. I'm not doing it. I'm not fucking doing it. Too many moving parts.
Yeah, me neither. I can't do it.
Now listen, she put on these toilet seats that are the same ones that I went on in like back in the fucking 2000 in Japan, where it's cutting down on my showers, where I have to always clean my ass because I'm a clean person. So after you do a number two, you just press the buttons on this toilet seat and the little nozzle comes out and cleans your ass. You have those? You ever do those at a hotel?
I have one. No, I have one in my house.
Ooh, me too now, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I don't know these other podcasters, but me and you probably got the cleanest asses around.
And when the bidet is broken, my girlfriend comes in with a little plant waterer and just shoots it into my anus. Foot, foot, foot. And that helps.
That is so gross. Because you know how much water that would take to really make a dent?
Yeah.
That thing is great, Jimmy. It's amazing. And then I do the air dry on it.
No, I use paper. I'll use a little air dry, but I like to use paper.
Well, I'm going to use paper also. I'm not a fucking Neanderthal.
All right.
Jimmy, let's talk a tiny bit. Oh, you know what's really fucked up, Jimmy? We gave on the last episode of the people congratulating us on our 600, 600
crazy
episode, which is amazing. And we're giving a good friend of mine a lot of shit. We're giving Ray Longo, hey, dude, Longo, really? You're not, you know, he sent the message in. Did you know that?
I know, yeah.
We got the, and how about this? Our producers, they didn't even, we're sitting here shitting on the guy, going, the guy's not giving us a, they could have said, he sent it in and something happened. They let him hang. Now, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
We have Ray Longo wishing us or congratulating us on our 600th episode. Can we please play that? Because I feel like Longo got shit on for no reason. Oh, wait, time, it's fucking time. Longo's not that good looking.
That's all Alec right? Ponovich.
That is our friend Alec Paul.
How did he get mixed up? What happened with him?
Alex is a good friend of the show.
Yeah,
I was shocked that he wasn't on here. And he likes us, specifically me. Because I talked to him, he likes us.
Sure.
But I think he might like me more. Because
I don't blame him. I like you more.
Well, let's watch.
All right, Alex Ponovich.
Alex. Yeah, I miss him. Let's go. He looks good. Let's go.
Here we go. 600th episode for the boys and Unfiltered. Come on now. It was an honor to be on the show. It was an honor to get choked out by Matt Serra. It was an honor to be made fun of by Jim, and to be a guest on the show and all the information you guys give. Even when I'm not on the show, I'm a big fan, man. I've been a fan since day one.
Yes.
Thank you so much for letting me be a part of the show. So happy 600. Nice. Yeah.
600 episodes of Unfiltered. What a beautiful milestone. And Jimmy, after 600 episodes with him, I'm sure you're like me. You see his name come on that telephone and you hit that decline button as quick as you can. But in all honesty, man, you guys are great. Jimmy, you're a beautiful soul. Never have a bad word to say about anybody. You got a great analytical mind for MMA. And Matt, obviously, was a great champion, and he knows the game better than anybody, and his breakdowns are phenomenal. It's an honor every time I'm on that show. I love you guys, and 600 more. Best of luck.
Thank you, Ray.
Wow. I didn't like the way he started that off with the decline, and you laughed too fucking heartily at that, where it almost like you knew what he was talking about.
No,
Jimmy. When he said that joke, which was a joke, you laughed like Ray, I know what you.
No.
It was like almost like a private joke between the both of you.
No,
here's it hurt why my I fucking left. Feelings.
No, here's why I left.
You better pick up when I call you next time, Jimmy.
No, here's why I left.
Why?
Because you had at one time accused Ray of doing that, and it was funny to hear him admit it. I found it to be in very poor taste. However, I get it. Now, also, what's really funny is Alex, who is a pretty big actor.
Yes.
Has probably been saying, fuck these two guys for the last week. If he heard the episode and he wasn't on it, he's like, what, these pieces? I wasn't good enough to make the
we love
final.
Him. We love him. He's great. He got a good, you know what I like about him? He's a giant. I'm up to his waist. But he's very humble. And he used to box too.
Yeah, he's
and
a
giant. He's a humble guy. He's so
nice
humble.
Man.
And he's got a very good aura about him. I'm not talking about Longo. I'm talking about Alex.
Sure.
He's got a very good energy about him. Like, I want to just hug him. I'm a hugger.
I know you are. I like that about you. Just hugging is always very nice. A good hug.
Got one coming when I see you.
I hope so, from the back.
Well. And hey, listen, thank you to Alec and Ray Longo. That was nice.
Yeah.
Jimmy, let me tell you something. So, look, Cater versus Emmett this weekend.
Great fight.
So the main card starts at 7 p.m. this weekend on ESPN Plus, and the prelims start at 4 p.m. I'm having this Saturday at Sarah BJJ in Huntington, Long Island, New York. I have my buddy Sean Williams, who came up with me at the Hensel Gracie Academy. He's a Hensel Gracie black belt. He's going to be doing his body lock passing the guard seminar. And, he's a good friend. I haven't seen him in ages. I know this guy. I'll tell you right now, coming up, there's probably nobody I rolled with more. He was one of my main training partners at the Hensel Gracie Academy. And me, my buddy Sean Williams, and a couple of my other buddies, Paul and Chad, I tell the story before where we took a road trip from Manhattan to Indiana, where Sean was grew up. He grew up like in like a it looked like Superman 1, like cornfields and shit. Anyway, so we went to his house, and because it was there was an MMA event there where I competed in this tournament, grappling. It was the Abu Dhabi trials in 2000, and that got me over to Abu Dhabi. After I won that thing, I submitted everybody in that thing, and that got me to Abu Dhabi, which the UFC noticed me from there, and it got me to UFC. So I don't know. This guy's part of my journey. So I'm going to be happy to see Sean Williams this weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Jimmy. Jimmy, what do you got? Oh, wait. We talked about everything, right?
Yeah. No, I have tonight I'm performing at the Fat Black Pussycat. And I got gigs coming up. So I'll be in Rochester. I will be in Minneapolis. And I will be at the end of July in Denver. So go to JimNorton.com if you wish to see me. If not, I get it. I wouldn't either.
Nah, that's not true. Jimmy.
All right. Yes.
Jimmy, Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett, really quick. Go. Go. Go.
Calvin Kattar. It's a very, very tough fight to pick. I'm going to take Kattar by decision. I think Emmett is very tough to put away. He's coming off a couple of really, really solid wins. But I think Kattar will get the decision in this one.
Kattar, second round stoppage.
Really? I'm going to give it a fucking
I like Josh, too.
Three rounds to two, I say he wins. I think it's going to be a very close fight. Maybe even a split decision.
I think he's going to find him in the second.
Okay.
Maybe not, but I think it's going to be explosive. Donald Cerrone versus Joe Lauzon. Let's just do that and one more and we're good.
I say Lauzon. I think Joe, again, he's had some time off. He looked so good in that fight against Jonathan Pierce. I say he's going to stop Cowboy in the second.
I'm going to go with Joe Lauzon by decision.
Okay.
And only because I got excited to see this on the card, and I feel like I'm like, oh, wow, we got this one, this one, this one. It just came out of nowhere for me, and I really, really like it. Tim Means.
Ooh, Kevin Holland, yes.
Versus Kevin Holland. This is a very interesting fight. I really like Kevin Holland. I do, and he finds ways to win. But Tim Means is crafty. Styles make fights. This is a great fight. Holy shit, yes. This is a great fight. I mean, this could be a main event. What do you think with this one, Jimmy? This is a hard one. Remember, this is Kevin Holland at 170. We've seen him gone down.
Yeah. But he looks so good against Cowboy Oliveira. I'm going to take Holland by decision. I think that Means is, again, he's 9 years on him. And I think that Means, though, is again, he's a crafty enough veteran to be able to, anything Holland is doing, Tim Means, I think, has at least seen before. So I think Tim Means is a good enough fighter to make the fight go three rounds. You understand what I mean? I think a guy like that,
yes,
will know how to slow him down a little bit, will know how to tie him up. So I'm going to say Holland manages to squeak out a decision.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. I'm really excited about this fight at 170 also with Kevin Holland, and I'm a huge Kevin Holland fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to say this, and I mean it. I think Tim Means business. Come back.
Your
come
session
back.
Has ended.
Jimmy, no, come back.
Oh,
back.
I'm sorry.
Let me, we can actually, I'm saying Tim Means, right? Business. I doubled down on it.
God damn it. You got me twice.
Jimmy, I would never make it in stand-up comedy. Listen to me. I feel that Tim Means is going to get a decision, and it's going to be a barn burner. And I don't know. I think at this stage in his career, I'm not saying Kevin Holland's taking him lightly, but I don't think that at all. But I think that Tim Means is like, look, you know what? I'm approaching 40. Let's go out with a bang.
Yeah. But you think Tim Means?
Yes.
That's my secret weapon.
And that's been our show. Jimmy, I love you, man.
All right, pal. I love you, and I'll talk to you this weekend.
I'll talk to you then. All later, bye. Jimmy. Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.